In our studio, we've got our councillor, Lisa Thompson. Morning, Lisa.
Morena, Aaron. Morena, Whangaroa. And on this beautiful day with that light touch of frost in the air this morning.
Oh.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. It was as I was walking in where there were still shadows, there was definitely frost.
It was beautiful. I actually went out, took my son out to dinner last night in Hamilton, and it was really freezing. And I thought, feels like a touch of frost in the air to wake up this morning to
They'll
such a beautiful...
Yeah.
Beautiful morning in Whangaroa.
And we were just talking off the air how good it is that we've got a proper election for the community board this year. I know two elections ago we didn't have one. It's disappointing not to be able to vote.
It's absolutely fantastic to see because, you know, right across the country there are challenges getting people to stand for the local body elections. And so to see... seven people put themselves forward right now to stand, and I'm sure there will be others who will put their names forward with great skills.
Yep.
I've spoken to a couple of people who are really keen as well, but their names aren't on the list. So whether they actually do put their hat in the ring is another thing, but after 12 o'clock today we'll know.
Yeah.
And it's neat to see so many of our current community board stepping forward to put the hat in the ring for another round.
Yeah, yeah. It means that they didn't have too bad a time.
I think, if you
lose your whole board, you know something's gone horribly wrong, but that's definitely not what's happening here.
That's exactly right, you know, and I think that as a board, you know, on Wednesday morning we were down at the Raglan Wharf for the blessing with our kaumātua and with our hapu representatives, with staff, with staff from Becca and the contractors who are going to be commencing work on Monday on the first part of the wharf project, which is just so fantastic. And we had such a beautiful morning. And, you know, the hard work of the community board, in particular Gabriel Parson and Dennis Amore, particularly Dennis actually, who has really led that project for the board and the community, working with staff and with the contractors as well. So I think we should be really proud of the work that the board has done in this triennium.
With the wharf, we know that they, what's called the Western Walkway, which was a pedestrian thing past the going past the silos, that's because building costs have gone up. That can't be done now. But how confident are you? Because it's not been cancelled.
It's been postponed.
So how confident are you that that will happen?
I actually can't say that unless we get funding or put it into the LTP.
Yeah.
So I'm confident that we will get it happening at some stage, but it may not be immediate.
So the intention is there.
Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat.
Yeah, we all have these days.
The intention absolutely is there to get that done. But, you know, we never imagined 3 years ago when we went for the Provincial Growth Fund that we would then see a pandemic and the rising costs of materials and the rise of inflation. So, you know, we've got... it's great to have that project. We were going to see some work starting on Monday. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Well done to the team.
There was a security meeting a week or two ago, security in town.
Sorry, my daughter's just...
Charlie? Yeah. Stop it.
Charlie, stop ringing me.
Yeah, I get that problem too sometimes.
Sorry about that. So it wasn't just about security. It was actually, a collaboration about crime prevention and also about community safety.
Yeah.
So to changing that language to make it more of a holistic approach to what safety in our communities looks like. So we met with Will O'Loughran, who is the Western Area Commander for the police, and
yep.
Brendan Bland, who takes care of our police officers, and also Chris Smith from the Neighbourhood Support in the Waikato. He's the Waikato Coordinator with Kathy Gilbert as well.
Yeah.
And we had Kevin Holmes, him and I, convened it from... the community patrol, and we had also, you know, the Marae representatives as well, and other businesses, you know, Mike Rarere from the community house, and Robin Jeweler Salvation, and Joe Holmes, and others within the community who have a real interest in what does safety and health and well-being look like in our community? So from there, it was a great discussion, actually. So how can we support our community patrol? You know, for example, people putting themselves forward to actually be part of the community patrol, re-establishing and setting up new neighbourhood support networks. So, in fact, I sent out this morning to that group comms that myself and Gabriel and Kathy had worked on, just simple comms to share out to different platforms and different groups about setting up a neighbourhood support network in their street or their road. And our next step actually from there will be to reconvene just, I guess, a planning group coming up into, you know, the spring and the busy summer period. I know that Will is, I believe, applying to the Better All funding for cameras across the Waikato district, which would include Raglan.
Who's Will?
Will is the area commander for police.
Yep.
And I spoke with Andrew Murphy last Sunday, actually, and he was working on an application to Waitomo Gas for the recognition camera for Te Uku.
Oh, so they would go by the petrol pumps there?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So, and when you say recognition camera, that's one that can read number plates?
Yes, that's right.
With the benefit, from what was being explained at a previous community board meeting, that if the car has been stolen and it's been notified to the police it's stolen, they know when it's coming into a town.
That's exactly right.
Because often that car will be used for illegal activity.
That's right.
Like ram raids and that sort of stuff.
So though that security on that side with regard to cameras, that's definitely underway. Yeah. And I know that up at Raglan Area School as well, we will be looking at security cameras on site there as well. And so, you know, it's a community responsibility. And what came out of that discussion as well, Will, was quite clear that people need to report any suspicious activities. You know, it might be putting it on social media. People might think that that's a way of, you know, reporting it, which it is because it makes people aware, but you also need to call the police, the 111 number.
Well, it makes some people aware, but it certainly doesn't make like our older members of the community aware. You know, you think of your elderly people who might be living alone, and they're the ones who particularly might like to know.
Yep, so dial 111.
They're probably not on social media.
That's exactly right. So yeah. I would encourage anyone, if there's suspicious activity, regardless of what time, night or day, report that to the police through the 111 number, and we'll really encourage that. And what came out of that discussion is the biggest problem and challenge that the police have in this area is actually drink driving. So the harm that's caused through drink driving. So remember that, you know, don't drink and drive. That causes harm. And obviously the harm caused by family violence and through drugs and alcohol. So those are big issues.
Yeah, well, that's stuff that we don't – like people talk about the ram raids and the robberies and the thefts on the notice board, so we know we're aware of that stuff. We're obviously not – no one's putting about family violence, domestic abuse and
that's exactly
and
right.
Addictions on there.
Yeah, which is, you know, which is across our community. So how can we address that? So those are the things that we need to look at, and supporting, you know, people in whānau, our rangatahi, our elderly, to feel safe. And also, you know, there was a discussion as well, if you see young people and they're playing up, you know, go over. There is a responsibility for us as our community members to go over and speak to them if we felt brave enough. And that's another important aspect. So community safety belongs to all of us, and we can all be involved. You know, neighbourhood support through supporting the community patrol, and obviously supporting the police. And if we're seeing anything suspicious, dialing 111 and reporting that. And of course, check your drink driving. And like the be a legend and don't drink and drive.
So the police are concerned about that. Are they acting on that? Are they on the lookout for?
Well, they. It was interesting because
we've got. What are we doing? Should we
Sorry, I've got hearing aids and it's on my Bluetooth into my phone. So
oh, right. So when someone rings, it goes in your ear.
Yeah, it goes in my ear. So my apologies. So others probably can't hear that.
Yeah, I was wondering why you were so distracted by it because I couldn't hear anything.
No, it's right in my ears. So I can hear now, but sometimes it is distracting. So I'll put my phone away and turn it down. So what Will said was that with the drink driving, they have about 20 minutes, I think he said, I'm pretty sure 20 minutes to half an hour, because people will share it in social media that the police are out if they're doing random checks.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You know, so...
So that's frustrating for them. They can come all the way to Raglan, 20 minutes.
Yeah, and in that time it's already gone out on whatever platforms.
Yeah.
But, you know, it... Everyone gave a nervous laugh when he said that, but actually when you think about it, is that okay that we feel it's all right for people to drink and drive, you know, when that potentially is putting lives at risk? You know, so I think we need to have a really good check-in with that choice to drink and not drive, or to drink and drive. So those are things that we need to be cognizant of, and you know, help people to, if they are doing that.
I've had this thought that
stay at home.
That's the sensible thing.
Have a safe driver.
I'm wondering when they do those checks, they also checking for warrants and things like that, because I imagine people would want to say to their mate who hasn't got their warrant this week, look out for that. But you could see people saying that. But you can also see a lot of people saying, not saying, I want the drunk drivers to be caught.
Don't get caught by not drinking and driving.
All that, yeah. I want them not on the road.
So that whole discussion.
I just wonder if it gets coloured with those other issues.
I don't know, because we didn't ask for the details.
Yeah, this thought just occurred to me now. It's probably not very helpful for the discussion.
Yeah, I can't actually answer that. Let's move on from there.
Should we still talk about cars? About the World Rally car thing has been approved earlier this week?
It was. So it's actually the road closure. So at council we have a policy which is our rally road closure policy, which is specific to the international rally, actually. So that policy includes specific roads, Whanga, Ruapuke, Waimauri, Tutunemu, and Matawha roads in this area. And obviously in Te Ako, there are roads there that in that policy to enable the rally to take place through certain times of the year. So the rally organisers came to council earlier on this year to express interest in having the rally back in the Waikato district.
Yep.
And so from there, I guess, triggered the engagement with the different communities, and I helped to organise the community hui that happened in the supper room, which I think you came to that.
No, I didn't go to that.
Excuse me.
No, that I didn't go to. I've heard from people who did.
Yeah, so that took place, and, you know, giving information to the organisers around local contacts with schools to start engaging with our community. And, of course, Carolyn Eyre, who is my fellow councillor from the northern side of the harbour at Te Ako, has been working with her community. And so I actually voted against the road closure.
You were the only one.
I was the only one. And we had a great discussion. And, you know, that's the beauty of being in council chambers, is that we're able to debate or to discuss various topics as they come up. And, my fellow councillors, a number of them highlighted, the concerns that had been brought forward by those in opposition to the rally, particularly on the Whanga coast,
So we're talking about the residents who live on those roads.
The residents that live on the roads, the landowners, because you've got a variety of lifestyle blocks, as well as, you know, whānau that have been out there for generations, like the swans and that, you know. So there's a whole landscape. And I know that there's overwhelming support that came through from the, you know, the period that the consultation was open for the road closure. And, you know, and my son is one of those who loves cars.
Right.
And he was planning with his cousin to go along and watch, because they'll take the tractor and sit in the bucket out the front of the tractor and watch the rally. And, you know, he's got a V6, you know, XR6 manual. Yeah. That all you have to do is look at it and you can feel your bank balance
dissipating
quite quickly. So I understand that people feel really passionately about that, but, you know, I considered the desires of those residents who live out there, and also they weren't a number of people who live out there. It's not only just because of this event, but it's been something that they've not supported over a number of years.
Well, I've just had an email to the station saying, can we alert people to, on the 27th of August, the club's event, the Waikato Off-Road Club, is having a rally out there.
I'll have to read that. I haven't
seen it. Well, somewhere. Is it out there? I haven't read it properly yet. Maybe it's not out there, but there is another one. Like there is a local rally, not an international one, that sometimes happens on the road around the other side of the mountain.
I think that one's already happened. Is that the Hamilton Car Club one?
Yeah, yeah, so that's already
and
happened.
And that's not on the – I don't believe that that's on the unsealed network. That's actually on the seal.
Okay.
On Ruapuki Road is my understanding. So that's been and gone.
Yeah.
And so I considered – you know, kept my mind open to working with the rally organisers and, you know, the interests of those who live out there and the roading network. And I'm focusing on our area here in Whangaroa, you know, and the impact on them and as residents and ratepayers, what that means for them. But then I also took a wider view as well. You know, that area is a significant natural landscape.
Yeah,
it's unique. It's beautiful. Kariwi, you know, from the shoreline to mountaintop to inland, is an incredible taonga. And I remember in 2016 when we were working with Waikato University and also Hamilton Waikato Tourism, with various organisations and groups, including the Community Board with Bob McLeod and I and Gabriel, sitting on creating the Destination Action Plan for Whangaroa Raglan. One of our objectives was for Raglan to be an eco-tourism spot in New Zealand.
Yeah, and it is, and we are known for that. People who come here tell us that.
And that beautiful backdrop of that coastline. No wonder the rally organisers would love to be there.
My perception is that they're very keen to be here.
They are. It's a beautiful spot. It's a road that
it's a dramatic
they
place.
Love. Yeah, yeah. And it's a road that the drivers love to drive. But, you know, as an organisation and council as well, we are just looking at our climate committee that we planning on establishing and the terms of reference for that, and also our commitment as an organisation to take climate action. And although people will say it's only a day, it's only a day and a half or 2 days, the bigger picture is that this event has been beamed across the globe, and it's about fossil fuel extraction.
Well, the car companies support things like this because it's good for their business. So it's not about the fuel used on the day; it's about the encouragement of the use of it, and it's, you know, it's about that bigger picture, almost the PR side of it. So that's really what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so I've considered all of those, and as unpopular as it probably is for many in the community, I considered the bigger picture in a global context. in a local context, and then down to those people who live at Rōpuke, on whānga. And also, you know, I considered the beautiful landscape that's there. And so that's why I made that decision.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, you haven't heard from anyone in Whanga Road since the decision was announced? They're probably not very happy, I'm guessing.
I've had supportive emails, so, you know, but, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I think
You're one councillor. I mean, that's the thing everyone needs to realise. You can convince your local councillor, but you've got to convince at least half of the other councillors.
That's right.
If you want to win a battle like that. Yeah. Okay. So the community board meeting that happened about 2 weeks ago, I was only there for the first half hour, and then I've been away, and we haven't even been able to talk about it.
I was sick, and then before that, I was at the, we haven't talked for like 3 weeks, have we?
It could be longer, I don't know. Because I was away up north with the kids' sport thing with the area schools, the New Zealand Area Schools Sports Tournament.
And then I was away with the Local Government New Zealand conference as well.
Okay. So there's lots to discuss, but is there stuff that came out? Let's see, alcohol policy, was that discussed at the community board meeting? Or is the community board doing anything? What can you tell us about the alcohol policy?
Well, it's out for consultation, so it was pre-consultation.
Okay.
And some of the community board members wanted to look at the closing times for establishments in Raglan to be increased past 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So the closing times weren't part of the pre-consultation considerations, but the consultation is open now for feedback, which has been shared out to the community. So I suggest people go in and read that.
Okay.
And consider for Raglan what's in there.
Okay. The Wee Nearer walkway between the jetty and the bridge, where are we up to with that?
I haven't seen the plans for that.
Someone's making plans, though. That's news to a degree. I did. Now, I was talking to someone who's an engineer who works for one of the companies that's doing that job. He's not the engineer on it, but he had heard some alarming stats about how many people actually fall off that walkway. I don't know if you're aware of them. I'm not going to repeat the numbers because I almost feel disbelieving about them. But
no, it would probably be good to see that report before I can't comment on it until we actually see the work that's been done on there.
Yeah.
And then what those proposed designs are.
Okay. But there's definitely commitment from council to do something there.
Yeah, do something. Yep.
Okay. And we know generally it will be wider and it will have a handrail. Seems most likely.
Yeah. I don't know. Because haven't seen.
That's my comment.
A rumor if we don't actually have it in front of us to see.
Yeah.
This is what's anticipated.
So I should emphasize that's my estimate expectation.
Yeah.
My guess. What else are we going to talk about? There's been also talk about putting a crossing across the road from the jetty near Orca.
Oh, that's been in the pipeline for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
You know, when we were doing the Innovating Streets design, looking at putting that crossing in at some stage, and that was, we were going to do that as part of the Pūtoitoi area for the Innovating Streets outside of Auckland and the car park area there.
Yeah.
So certainly there's that desire to still have that raised crossing to make it safer for people going from the jetty or going from Orca down to the jetty, you know, because there's still that confusion, and that will increase safety. So there's definitely discussion around that.
Okay, you weren't in the room at the meeting either.
No,
you were listening on Zoom.
Yeah, some things that I couldn't hear, although I did have my flash hearing aids on.
Well, it depends on the microphone in the room, really.
Yeah, so it was, it's great being able to, sorry, Aaron.
You can hear why Lisa wasn't at the meeting.
Sorry.
from this.
I'm not contagious or anything like that, but.
No, the cold that's gone around hangs over a lot.
Yeah.
I was talking to Charlie yesterday, I saw her at the community house, she's had it bad.
Yeah, she has had it bad, so it's just that time of year.
There was potentially discussion about new street names at Rangitahi. Did that come up? this is a list someone else has made of what might come up in the community board meeting, so I'm kind of reliant on that because I wasn't there myself.
I've got to try and dust off my dusty memory.
Yeah, because it's 2 weeks ago now, so maybe we'll just skip that because that'll become apparent over time. Who was the manager who was there at the meeting? Was it the council manager? Was Tony Whittaker.
Oh, yeah, Tony Whittaker, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Did he have things to bring at all?
He did. He talked about, the rates increases. He also talked about the proposed policy, and I'll have to dust off my... I'm not going to comment on it because I've gone blank in my head, but about some of the changes for some communities in the district about enabling more urban development.
Is that to do with the government, the thing coming from national level?
I'm going to get back to you on that because I'm...
I was talking to someone from Waipa District Council yesterday about the Labor and National got together and agreed between them that there would be laws coming through that would allow a property could have, in the areas where it happens, a property could have three residences, yeah, at three stories high, which is a substantial change, but a recognition, A, of the housing crisis, and B, of the fact that we're using up lots of productive farmland. And I was talking to Jenny, who's one of our DJs who works at Waipa District.
Yeah, it's enabling in the urban areas for that more intensified development.
But I know that Waipa got included, and the good people of Cambridge are not happy. As you can imagine, they're very, very. They love their town. Some might say they're precious about their town.
Well, I think Raglan is as well.
Yes, we're precious about our town. Yeah. But are we going to end up with that?
It wasn't in the proposed. It was actually for other communities, and Raglan wasn't included in that. And
we're too far from Hamilton, I think.
We would have to really think about where that would happen, if it were to happen. I mean, we've got examples of development in the CBD area that had a lot of discussion. Around the height and the look.
The bulk was the big thing.
So, I think it needs to be really considered if that was for Raglan because, through the district plan review process, there was the character, the Raglan character was something that I believe you
we were involved with, but everything got ripped out at the last minute by senior staff at council. I don't have any names, but we worked really hard on it. There was me and John Lawson and Gabriel and the staff member. We had long Zoom meetings, and then it suddenly, right at the end, it was all pulled out again. So there's not much left. One thing I remember that was interesting, John was suggesting that if we were to have like multi-story buildings of whatever number of stories, the best place would be round by the wharf because it would be hidden to the rest of the town because there's the headland there. So you wouldn't put it right in the middle where everyone could see these big buildings. You put it somewhere like that where it's obscured by the landscape. That's just a thought for discussion. I mean, that certainly didn't go in. It's not a new law. It's just an idea to float.
Yeah, the consideration of where that would be if it were to be supported by the community and... the look of our and feel of the town as well, and if it encroached on the view, or the relationship to the water,
And there is stuff in there about the views, protecting the views. So,
So I think it needs to be well considered.
But I suspect that's not going to hit us with any urgency. But at some stage, given that there's predictions of potentially 12,000 people living in Raglan in 50 years' time, at some point the community is going to have to confront that one.
That's exactly right, and because otherwise do you want more of an urban landscape developing over the rural area? Or what does that look like moving forward in 50 years? Is the community ready for that now? I'm not sure because...
We don't like any change around here, let's be honest about it.
There are people who definitely embrace change, and then we might possibly hear more amplification because we live in an environment now that's enabled by social media. So oftentimes we see more of the negative than we see of the positive.
We've got to remember that social media is designed. Social media is designed to amplify the negative.
That's exactly right. So to say that we don't like change, I don't necessarily believe that's true. It's the type of change and how we communicate that out to our community. And we're not all going to agree, but I think, you know, we still have to be brave enough to explore and do different things. So
yeah, and this is something I've talked about on here, is just what are the things that we actually, because there are some people who will want to stop all change because they want to keep raglan how it is, but change is going to happen, so we need to identify what it is about our community and this landscape that we love and try to retain those characteristics while change is happening anyway, and like control the change and drive the change
and be part of it,
be part of the change, because if you just try to oppose it, it's going to happen anyway.
In some way, shape or form. So it's actually looking at what it is that we want. And, you know, I think as a community, we all want the same things. We want a sense of connection. We want that sense of belonging. We want to take care of the resources that we have, you know, our harbour, our ocean, our mountain, our landscape. We want to take care of each other. And we want to be able to celebrate our diversity as well. And we should also be able to have debate and disagree and come to consensus where we can. But ultimately, I do think we all just want a sense of belonging, whether you've been here all your life or for generations, or you've just newly arrived, there's something that connects us to this place.
Yeah.
And it's all about relationships.
Should we talk about the infrastructure?
Yep, so we've got our infrastructure. No, it's not infrastructure. It's actually our council meeting on Monday.
Oh, a full council meeting, right.
Yeah, full council meeting on Monday. And we actually have, it's only a small agenda, but I'm sure it will generate much discussion around the governance table.
Yeah.
There's a paper on there regarding the Raglan Airfield and council supporting and enabling and facilitating the return of the land blocks to their rightful owners. So there'll be discussion on that. So if people are interested in that paper, it's actually on our website, and it is in our under council meetings. So that is for the 15th of August on Monday.
Okay.
And yeah.
Can I ask, is that, are the rightful owners identified, or is that a Waitangi tribunal call? Like, I don't understand the full landscape there. Do we know exactly who it would be returned to?
We have an idea of who it would be returned to, but we can't, you know, as council, that's not our role to determine that.
So that's the Waitangi tribunal's role?
The tribunal, the Māori Land Court, and other agencies, but we want to facilitate and enable that to happen in the right way, to the rightful owners. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm really looking forward to the discussion in chambers with regard to that paper. And I believe there will be Habu and Whānau representatives that will be attending on Monday. So that's exciting.
Okay. And we do know that the Waitangi Tribunal has put out the report for this area, and that Hapu representatives have been talking with Andrew Little. He came down for a meeting. So that process is happening.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, but I'm not part of that process. So
no, you're on the council side of things.
I don't want to comment on something that I'm not involved in, but certainly sorry.
Shall I do some talking?
Yeah,
we'll say that. So that's happening. People can read about it, and that's I've said all along. My observation has been there's no one who wants to keep that land under council control, either at council or in the community. Well, maybe there might have been people in the community. I didn't hear about them, so I think it was always going to happen. But it's good to hear that steps have been made to restore things to the way they should be.
Yeah, and I think it's another step in the right direction. You know, and in terms of the relationship with local government and whānau, hapū and iwi, you know, when we are going into more of working in that co-governance space.
I think, to be fair, it has been operating sort of in a co-governance way anyway, that piece of land, hasn't it?
Well,
like, council have been in discussion with hapū about what they're doing.
Various
with land
blocks. And, and that's not only in Raglan, it's across our district.
Yeah.
You know, we've got large hapū and iwi land that are part of our district. So, you know, we've got, our joint management agreement with Waikato Tainui.
Yeah.
We're working on other agreements with other hapū groups across the district. We're setting up our mana whenua forums as well. And, you know, even with the Better Off funding process that we've put in place, the panel on there is made up of 50% hapū representatives that are chosen by their respective hapū.
So that you've mentioned the Better Off funding a couple of times. Is this the $7 million that the government's...
$7.8 million that the government, through the DIA, through the Three Waters reforms, has, given to however big your
council is
dependent on how much you receive. So the Better Off funding is an opportunity for communities across our district to apply for projects that are shovel ready. So they need to be projects that are ready to go.
Oh, it's one of those scenarios. Okay.
Yeah, so that they're already supported in the community because you have to come up with the budgets and the plans as part of your application. But what's exciting is that that panel who are doing the process through shortlisting the applicants are made up of 50% Māori and 50% non-Māori. So another really great example of co-governance in action. And then, of course, like I mentioned, our mana whenua forums as well, which we're still establishing. In fact, I was on a Zoom hui with Waikato Tainui on Wednesday, going through our strategic work plans as council with Waikato Tainui, and we talked about the elections that were coming up and enabling and supporting all candidates who are standing across the district, not just the Māori wards. And that was a great discussion. So, yeah, slowly things are evolving, aren't they, in local government.
I realise we should just have a quick statement about that Better Off funding. That
it closes on the 19th of August.
But who can apply? Is it kind of like you have to apply because you're the councillor?
No.
Community board? I could?
You could as an organisation if you had a project that you were wishing to progress.
I'll think of one quickly.
Yes. And then, you know, for example, the police going for the Better Off funding in order to have the cameras across the district.
Yeah, that's a great solution for a problem that we've been discussing.
You know, council, we can't... resource via our own funding, something of that magnitude, you know, that is covering Raglan, Huntly, Ngārua, Wāhia, Meru Meru, Te Kauwhata, all
so
of those.
So many little towns.
Yeah, you know, that require and who desire what we do, you know, security cameras as well. So I think that's a great application, but it's not up for us as councillors to determine who gets shortlisted, but it will come to council.
Okay, all right. And I know you've got to go, but just before you go, I just want to mention, of course, that Bob McLeod's memorial service is happening
on the 22nd of August.
On the 22nd, 1 year and 1 day after he passed.
I know. Isn't that amazing? And because it's gone so quickly, you know, and it's an opportunity for us as a community to come together and pay tribute to his contributions and his life. That, you know, he loved this community and he is sorely missed by many, and we certainly miss him on the community board. You know, with Bob, he was always enthusiastic and proactive and willing to take on challenges and change. So I'm looking forward to being able to listen to the tributes that come out on the 22nd.
Yeah,
so that's at the Raglan Town Hall, 11 o'clock.
And they are organising Overflow in the Raglan Club.
That's right, with a live
video
feed.
So, yeah. So, because I'm sure I've seen plenty of other full town halls at times like this in the past. I'm sure it will happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Lisa, thank you heaps for coming in this morning, and I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.